he's like, this isn't going to come back on us, is it? He's like, absolutely not. Everything we do is non-attributable. So we'll have sub-corporations or things set up. We'll have media sites set up. We'll have organizations in place. You don't pay them. You pay us, and we'll take care of it. If you are going to set somebody up, you can't have the person associated with the campaign have it coming back to them at all, right? So that's where you have the non-attribution and the dissemination of the content. I don't want to say connected to Trump campaign, because that's disingenuous, because they've been doing this a decade or longer before Trump ever decided to run for office, right? No, understanding that the political dynamic between Jones and Hillary, I could absolutely see Jones killing Hillary's job the same way she took his. But then on the way out, McCain says, here you go, here's the dossier, now we can get rid of Trump.
I have the perfect gift for you, the new snake oil from Gadget Man. It's not like it sounds. It's not really snake oil. It's a formula you add to your engine oil, transmission, fuel systems, and more. This special formula reduces friction, enabling significant improvements in gas mileage and wear and tear on your vehicle. I personally have seen gas mileage improvements of over 10% in our first test vehicle. Now we are anxious to see how much it can also cut down on our maintenance costs. Starting at $29, it's a no-brainer gift that saves everyone money and adds life to your car. Learn more about this great unique gift idea at sarahwestall.com under shop. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a whistleblower coming to the show. His name is Patrick Berge. He's a veteran of Iraq, and he's also a cybersecurity and cyber intelligence expert. And he was above top secret clearance, and he actually was one of the people that created ShadowNet, which was Obama's project, and it was under National Security Advisor, his company, and he explains the whole thing. But the gist of all of this is that what he's talking about is the enchilada of the surveillance, of the campaign fixing that's going on in this country. It surpasses the Russian collusion that they are claiming. And he's saying, no, this is what was going on, and that they know it. They're lying. All the people that are involved in that, he worked with, worked for, he's got a pretty interesting story. He had a sworn affidavit that he put out to Congress in July 2019. And it's all out there. And he explains it all. He did a thing with Fox News, and he spent a lot of time with them. They were going to roll out the story over a period of a week because it was really deep. He'll explain it. And they ended up killing the story, just like they did with Epstein. It's all the same crap that you see. The mainstream media is just worthless. Unless somebody can come forward and show me that you're not. OAN has done some good work lately in Ukraine. Maybe they'll come forward and give him more publicity. It's the independent journalists like me who I'm not affected. I'm not controlled by anybody. We are covering these very important stories. You're not getting it anywhere else because they're too controlled. They're too corrupt. And this is just more proof of that. And he stays after for my patrons and does some more in-depth on his credibility and how you can verify yourself that he's telling the truth and what's behind that. I'll also have that article that he's going to be referring to in this interview on my website. You can do more research to see that he's telling the truth as well if you're not a patron. And then I'm going to invite you to follow me on Twitter. I got to get out there. My podcast is routinely now in the top of the charts on business news across the world, on all the Western countries, but even countries that don't speak English, like Sweden, I was up to number 2, highest I've gotten on there. Italy, I'm routinely in the top 10 of all business news podcasts. And sometimes I'm in general just news, I'm on the top of the charts. So very happy. United States, I'm in the top of the charts. So it's doing good. I need to get that podcast going. Follow me on Twitter, please, because I need to get more exposure there. Never know what YouTube's going to do. My numbers are way down from what they were last year and 2 years ago, and I keep growing. I have 3 times the subscribers, and I don't have the same numbers, so I got to grow elsewhere. And so follow me on Twitter. Tell people about my show. Share this one. This one's really important. But anyways, let's get right into this interview now with Patrick Berge. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I am really impressed with the stuff that you've been working on and what your background is. And you put out a sworn statement to, was it to Congress in July of this year? As a whistleblower, talking about surveillance and the shadow net, and you're going to explain what that is, on the nefarious activities that were going on. Before we get into that, you had above top clearance classification as a contractor. What does it mean to be above top secret? Because, I mean, we think you're already top secret. What's above?
TSSCI means you've been read on to programs that are top secret, right? So it's special compartmentalized information. So TSSCI. So you're beyond just the general access. There are certain programs that you've been read on to.
Okay. So, and there's a lot of people that have that kind of access depending on what they're working on.
Not that, no. And then you go beyond that by getting, by people when they have the polygraphs and things like that, right? So, and when I was in Iraq, I held with the IA program, I held a level 6 access. So that's as high as you can go.
Okay. So you got to see there's very few people that are at that level, and you got to see quite a bit of things going on.
Well, because I was a network administrator for all the content on all the classifications. So you got to be able to fix everybody's problem.
Okay, so you were pretty high up there. Now, what made you decide that you wanted to come out and be a whistleblower on the activities that you've been seeing going on within our government? And that essentially is against the people.
When I ended up losing my job in 2015, it was actually something that kind of started going back several years. Going back even to a previous contract with another employer where I resigned just from disgust, right? But I just started refusing to play ball. And when you're a contractor, the client is all that matters. It's company before country, right? And I refused to do that. And I'm surprised I lasted as long as I did at the point which I stopped doing that, because I made some questionably ethical decisions prior to that. One case in point would be when I was in Iraq, and I busted a contractor on our IAA program who was downloading porn of underage boys having sex with old men. I filed a formal complaint and took all the appropriate steps. I was the information assurance security officer. It ended up being shut down. And after a briefing, now this went all the way, I know this went to my boss, to pretty much the highest people in our program. And if you consider that we answered directly to Petraeus, who was in the office right next to us, he probably even knew, right? But they said, listen, you're either going to forget about this. We fired the guy. But he kept his clearance. We've already fired the guy. He's no longer going to be an issue here. If you don't, and you continue to push this, then you're going to be out of a job, and the program is going to be shut down, right? And it was a pioneering program that we didn't want anything to happen. We had all worked very hard. It was very impactful. It was doing, we were good, doing good work. And we didn't want to get it shut down because of just one dumbass that was downloading, you know, porn of underage boys, right? And why should it come to that? I don't, you know, it's just, it was a stupid argument to make. It was just them covering their butts. But I agreed to it. I just shut my mouth at that.
But what were they afraid that you were going to do? Because if they fired the guy, was it the fact that you could maybe push him on the fact he didn't lose his security clearance, or push him on the fact that he wasn't prosecuted versus just being fired?
You know, we were pioneering a very, very, very new IIA, Interactive Internet Activities, right? And this is where you have to, you're kind of like not always on government networks. You use commercial networks. And here we are, the government's giving us this freedom to be able to work hand in hand with the PAO. And here you have some guy that's on a government laptop, but on a commercial network that's doing bad things. And so the fear at the time was, oh my God, we're basically on a trial anyway with this new program. It was a TRWI, tri-regional web initiative. And which I posted an amazing link that I hope you share with everybody. Share it on your Patreon, of this professor who wrote a brilliant article, posted it in a journal, full citations, and I cannot say enough how accurate she was with her interviews with people, with the way that the program was handled, with the way, I mean, there was one thing in that article where she spoke about how programs, it kept hurting the programs because the contracts were so short, right?
Well, hold on a second.
Contract.
So what she wrote, she did a paper on an overview of what you guys did, which confirmed and gave you credible, made you look credible because it confirmed everything you've been saying.
Everything I've been saying, right down to aspects like that, where she's saying that one of the big problems that they were running into with the TRWI project was that every time they would get it started up, a contract would end, somebody new would come in, and they would have to start over from the beginning, right? And if you've been listening to everything I've been saying for the last, since 2015, and this came out like 2018 or 17, don't quote me on that, but that's the best I could see, then that's exactly what I've been saying, right? So we lost the contract, kept the intellectual property rights to it, just so, you know, and made the ShadowNet commercially available. At the same time, General Jones, who was the owner of it, was, you know, Obama's national security advisor. At the same time, all of that's happening, right? We are taking it away from them, and then some new company comes in, and they have to start from scratch. So all the work that we had done is you know, is just for nothing. And that's something that she wrote about in there, not having any idea that I'm pretty sure she had no idea of the specifics of it. But it hit the nail on the head, right? What she didn't know was that the people doing that were retired general. What was our national security advisor, whose own company owned it, and he took it, and then the new company comes in. So I'm adding a completely, I'm adding perspective to everything that you'll read in there. That's just one example of. Exactly. This is what kills these programs. It's what makes what was a very new thing that the government, the Army, and the Army likes to blow things up. They understand kinetics. They don't understand IIA, Interactive Internet Activities. They don't understand how the psychological how to embed a psychological component into real-time interactions. They just know how to blow things up. They kept us on a a short leash.
They kept on. Now, so you you just got fed up with all the corruption that you were seeing, and I want to get into what corruption that you were seeing. But you were working on a program called, ended up working on a program called ShadowNet, right? And was that the one that you...
That wasn't the classified name. Well, that was the commercial name that General Jones
okay,
trademarked.
So you were working on a class...
So it wasn't... I just wanted
no,
to make
that's
that
good.
Clear.
So you were working on a classified program that had a different name. Did he take that whole program and name it ShadowNet and then use it commercially for his own benefit?
He kept the intellectual property rights to what we developed at taxpayer expense and turned it into a commercial product.
Okay, well, that's a
I
big,
think I can safely
yeah,
say
okay,
that.
That's a big
yeah,
deal.
Absolutely.
Now, General Jones was Obama's security officer, right? National security officer.
National security officer, yes. National Security Advisor.
I'm sorry.
And former NATO Supreme Allied Commander.
That's a big deal, too. Okay, now, was he in that role while simultaneously owning a company that developed this software?
On paper, no. In reality, I answered directly to his son, which was Jim Jones, the president of the company, and their offices were maybe that far apart.
Okay. So it was his son's, but they contracted to his son, essentially.
Yeah, but his office was literally a paper airplane's throw away. Much okay. bigger, too.
Okay, what did this ShadowNet do? Because this is the crux of what... this is, to me, and let me correct me if I'm wrong, this is a bigger deal than what they were saying about Russiagate or any of this. I mean, this is a big deal. This is collusion with our campaigns. This is the enchilada that they claim they'd be going after, but this is really it. So am I wrong? Is that correct?
No, correct. It does. The easiest way to explain it is it does exactly what Cambridge Analytica did, right? So, and if you listen to the undercover videos that originally exposed the Cambridge Analytica scandal, when they were what were the keywords that they spoke about there? Non-attribution and dissemination, right? So when they were in that interview, when that guy had done that undercover expose, he's talking to the president of Cambridge Analytica and the president of the company. He's like, this isn't going to come back on us, is it? And he's like, absolutely not. Everything we do is non-attributable. So we'll have sub-corporations or things set up. We'll have media sites set up. We'll have organizations in place. You don't pay them. You pay us, and we'll take care of it. And that is the best description of it. Or you could look at it like exactly what we indicted 13 Russians for: fake personas, non-attribution, anonymity, the ability to disseminate whatever content you want, whether it's real content or completely fabricated using a green screen. It doesn't matter. If it's part of the narrative that needs to be collectively and coordinated, then the ShadowNet would allow you to. It's like a project management tool. It allows you to collect all your analytics, all your conversations with people, whatever those might be, whether it's SMS, text messages, emails, whatever. It allows you to collect all of those that you are collecting on your target, and it allows you to it allows teams of analysts to be able to build the profiles that they use to be able to put in place a targeted dissemination, whatever that might be. Now, in Cambridge Analytica's case, they talked about getting people on film or using things to crush elections, right? So It would be the same thing. If you are going to set somebody up, you can't have the person associated with the campaign have it coming back to them at all, right? So that's where you have the non-attribution and the dissemination of the content.
Okay, now
it's everything you've seen.
Now, was this used to help Hillary Clinton?
I'm 90% sure it was used to help John McCain, because we were John McCain's IT company. John McCain has a lifelong relationship with General Jones, goes back 40 years. Jones served under him in his command. Paul Manafort, we were Manafort's number one partner, his company, 3EDC, which included Roger Stone, I like Roger Stone, right? But these guys all messed with our elections, and they all did it for profit. So as much as you like somebody, we still need to understand the truth. I've personally spoken to Roger Stone, and he verified with me that he knew the Joneses. And of course, you got Manafort, you got Davis, you've got all of these people that I don't want to say connected to Trump campaign, because that's disingenuous, because they've been doing this a decade or longer before Trump ever decided to run for office, right? And how's Trump necessarily going to know what these guys have been up to? He's the kind of guy that's going to go and say, hire the people that are going to get me to win. I don't want to know, right? Take care of it. I want to win. And I'm kind of okay with that.
Well, exactly. But this was Obama's national security officer. So Did Obama use it?
Obama's national security advisor running John McCain's campaign.
Then that shows you that, you know, they were in bed together. But then all the Trump's people, I mean, were, that's what I'm trying to figure out. It pretty much just shows you there's a collusion, a big swamp, and they all, the never Trumpers, yes. There's a reason why he was a never Trumper. But I who knows, but there needs to be an investigation on this. But I want to get at, if this was Obama's national security officer, were they helping Hillary's campaign, or were they helping Trump's campaign, or neither? Do you know that information?
A little bit of background for you here. During the last debate between McCain and Obama, Obama made the statement that he would choose General James Jones, given the opportunity, to handle his foreign affairs. And in fact, I was in D.C. the day after that happened and met with Jim's son. And he said that General Jones was sitting at a table having dinner with a bunch of other people, and he said you could hear a pin drop with a bunch of other Republicans, said you could hear a pin drop when that happened. But McCain, General Jones was actually tapped by Obama to be his Secretary of State. He was asked by President Obama personally to be his Secretary of State. Jones then went back to his family, asked them. Jim called me up and said, hey, we won't believe this. Obama just asked my dad to be Secretary of State. Jones came back to him, said he would accept the position. And then about a day or so later, without any heads up whatsoever, Obama comes out and announces that he's going to tap Hillary Clinton for his Secretary of State. That was a complete betrayal. Right. So I'm thinking, based on how I know these people, their relationships, General Jones was not going to be helping Hillary win. If anything, he wanted to help whoever was running against Hillary win. And in my opinion, they did everything that they could to crush her campaign using IIA. And in the process, set Trump up on the way out, right? So, and what happens? So you've got, on when they're all done, you've got John McCain with his hands on the dossier after they've already discredited, after they've already killed the Hillary Clinton campaign. And which one, you know, McCain wasn't a big fan of Trump. None of these people were. I can't imagine Paul Manafort, McCain's decade-plus campaign manager, personal friend and friend of and colleague of General Jones. I can't imagine they were big fans of President Trump, yet somehow they got inserted into his campaign. So they crushed the Hillary, the Clinton campaign, which is using Wikistrat, Cygroup. These are the things that were that. That's why Wikistrat and Cygroup offices were raided in Israel by the FBI. Right? They raided their laptops. They did everything because this is what they were looking for, looking at. Now, no understanding that dynamic, the political dynamic between Jones and Hillary, I could absolutely see Jones killing Hillary's job the same way she took his. But then on the way out, McCain says, here you go. Here's the dossier. Now we can get rid of Trump. Does that make
what
sense?
What was their plan? They're just creaming everybody. But if they're taking Hillary down, mm-hmm. why would they want to take Trump down? What is their plan then to put
which
in place?
Which one of those people did I mention would be friends of Trump? Other than Roger Stone, Rick Davis? No, he was. These are decades long direct former John McCain campaign managers. Could you imagine, like, if you had a business partner for 10 years and they just went to work for the person you hate most in your life, would you ever expect to do business with that person again? You're burning a bridge right there, right? I mean, a major one. And these people, you know, and like I said, we were John McCain's IT company. Along with Manafort, they were our partners during that. These people were all very good friends, right down to the Podestas, right? Which one of the Podestas wanted Trump to help Trump? They wanted to make sure that Hillary didn't.
But Podesta Group was for Hillary. Mm-hmm. I mean, Podesta was hardcore for Hillary.
Well. You know, but they were also big supporters of Israel, and Israel did not. What happened as soon as the election was over? The moment the election was over, the UN held a vote to sanction Israel within a week or so. You remember that? It wasn't about helping Trump. It was about making sure that Hillary didn't win, and it was largely involved with Israel. Right. All of these people, and I'm not making this up, you know darn well, the FBI went and raided their offices in Israel, Wikistrat, Cygroup folks in Israel, Joel Zemel. These people were all directly tied to that. Right. So I'm just putting the relationships together as a whole. Means, motive, and opportunity means something.
Okay. Well, 8 people from ShadowNet was taken down, right? I mean, you have Manafort. There's 8 of them I read in your deal that were convicted, who were related to
connected or indicted, directly connected or indicted.
Okay, now they set up Trump on the way out, but what would be the point of that? They didn't want Hillary or Trump.
Well, they didn't want Hillary, but they thought they could do better with someone other than Trump. I'm sure you think John McCain supported Trump's
getting
in there.
No, he was a never-Trumper.
No. And who handed off the dossier? Yeah, who handed off the dossier? All of these people have their hands on both the attacks against Hillary through Wikistrat, Cygroup, of which General Jones was on the board. And they also had their hands on the dossier, the same people. Who knew that Paul Manafort, who would know that Paul Manafort had a ledger on him in Ukraine other than the people that worked with him doing that in Ukraine? These people. So they put Manafort in there and then just set him up. I'm just giving you my opinion on this. This is right? It's a, I think you could consider it an educated opinion, because I do know these people personally. I know, how many people do you know that were aware that General Jones was originally tapped by President Obama to be National Security Advisor, or to be Secretary of State?
They don't. It's interesting.
Okay. Nobody knows that.
Okay, now.
But these are important dynamics to understand, especially when all of these same people were involved with the dossier and with all of these other events.